Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Healing from Hidden Abuse, A Journey Through the Stages of Recovery from Psychological Abuse by Shannon Thomas, LCSW, is a nonfiction recovery guide focused on psychological abuse, especially the covert patterns often found in relationships with toxic or narcissistic individuals. Its central concern is abuse that leaves no visible injuries but produces confusion, shame, fear, self-doubt, and emotional exhaustion. Thomas writes from a clinical social work perspective and presents recovery as a structured process, rather than a vague attempt to move on. The book is organized around six stages of healing: despair, education, awakening, boundaries, restoration, and maintenance. It also includes a guided personal reflections journal intended for individual use, therapy, or group discussion. The book belongs to the trauma recovery and self-help category, but its distinguishing purpose is narrower than general emotional healing. It gives survivors a vocabulary for hidden abuse and a practical map for rebuilding safety, clarity, and self-trust. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, psychological abuse is treated as an invisible injury with concrete effects. A central contribution of healing from hidden abuse is its insistence that psychological abuse should not be minimized because it lacks visible evidence. Thomas frames hidden abuse as a pattern of repeated mind games, manipulation, blame shifting, guilt, shame, and emotional destabilization. This matters because many survivors are conditioned to doubt whether anything serious happened, especially when the abuser appears charming, responsible, or respectable in public. The book helps explain why targets of covert abuse may feel deeply wounded while struggling to prove the source of the harm. Its reasoning is practical recovery cannot begin clearly if the survivor keeps interpreting systematic manipulation as ordinary conflict, oversensitivity, or personal failure. By naming the abuse as psychological rather than merely difficult, the book shifts attention from isolated incidents to cumulative impact. This approach is especially relevant in family systems, romantic relationships, workplaces, and faith communities, where social roles can hide coercive behavior. Thomas does not present harm as dependent on dramatic events. Instead, she emphasizes repetition, confusion, and control as the mechanisms that make hidden abuse psychologically damaging. Secondly, the six-stage recovery model turns trauma recovery into a navigable process. The book is best known for presenting recovery through six stages: despair, education, awakening, boundaries, restoration, and maintenance. This structure gives the reader a sequence for understanding what may otherwise feel like emotional chaos. Despair captures the disorientation and depletion that often follow prolonged exposure to covert abuse. Education introduces language and concepts that help survivors understand toxic dynamics. Awakening marks the point at which the survivor begins to see the pattern more clearly and to separate personal identity from the abuser's distortions. Boundaries then becomes the practical stage of limiting access, refusing manipulation, and protecting recovery. Restoration focuses on rebuilding a life that is not organized around the abuser's demands or judgments. Maintenance recognizes that healing requires ongoing attention, especially when contact, memories, or social pressure can reactivate old patterns. The strength of the model is not that every survivor will move through it neatly, but that it reduces helplessness by making recovery observable. Thomas gives readers a framework for locating where they are and what kind of work may be needed next. Thirdly, education functions as a corrective to confusion, self-blame, and distorted responsibility. Thomas places significant weight on education because hidden abuse often damages a survivor's ability to trust perception. When manipulation is repetitive and subtle, the target may internalize blame, over-explain the abuser's behavior, or search for the one perfect response that will stop the mistreatment. The educational dimension of the book counters this by describing psychological abuse as a patterned relational system rather than a series of misunderstandings. This has a specific healing function. Once survivors can identify tactics and recurring cycles, they are less likely to interpret every episode as evidence of their own inadequacy. The book's clinical usefulness lies in connecting emotional symptoms to relational causes. Anxiety, shame, isolation, and exhaustion are not treated simply as private weaknesses. They are presented as understandable responses to coercive and destabilizing treatment. This reframing can also prevent premature reconciliation or false problem solving. If the core issue is an abuser's repeated control and disregard, then improved communication alone is unlikely to resolve it. Education, therefore, becomes both intellectual and protective, helping survivors distinguish normal relationship difficulty from psychologically harmful behavior. Fourthly, boundaries are presented as recovery tools, not punishments or declarations of superiority. The boundary stage is one of the book's most practical elements because it moves recovery from insight into action. Thomas treats boundaries as necessary limits that protect a survivor's psychological and physical well-being. This is important because people emerging from hidden abuse often feel guilty for creating distance, declining contact, or refusing to keep explaining themselves. The book's logic is that boundaries are not primarily about controlling the abuser, they are about ending the survivor's participation in dynamics that repeatedly produce harm. That distinction makes the concept more realistic. A survivor may not be able to make a toxic parent, partner, coworker, or community member behave differently, but the survivor can change access, expectations, and responses. Boundaries can include emotional distance, reduced communication, refusal to debate reality, or seeking professional and social support. The book also recognizes that boundaries may be complicated in families, workplaces, and communities where complete separation is not always immediately possible. Its contribution is to frame boundaries as graduated, intentional protections rather than impulsive reactions. Lastly, the Personal Reflections Journal makes the book usable beyond passive reading. The inclusion of a guided personal reflections journal distinguishes healing from hidden abuse from recovery books that only explain concepts. The journal component invites readers to apply the stages to their own experiences, which is significant because psychological abuse often leaves survivors with fragmented memories, unclear emotional patterns, and difficulty articulating what happened. Writing can help organize experience without requiring the survivor to present a perfect case to anyone else. The book's design also makes it adaptable for therapy, support groups, or individual reflection. In a clinical or group context, the journal can provide structure for discussion while keeping attention on recovery rather than on repeatedly recounting traumatic details. Its value lies in encouraging active processing, identifying patterns, noticing emotional responses, clarifying boundaries, and tracking progress over time. At the same time, the journal format has a realistic limitation. Readers dealing with severe trauma symptoms, ongoing danger, or complex family and legal situations may need professional support beyond self-guided reflection. The book is most useful when treated as a structured aid to recovery, not as a complete substitute for therapy or safety planning. In conclusion, healing from hidden abuse is most appropriate for survivors who suspect they have experienced covert emotional or psychological abuse, but lack the language to describe it. It is also useful for therapists, counselors, support group leaders, and trusted friends or family members who want a clearer understanding of why hidden abuse can be so disorienting. The practical benefit is its staged recovery map, which helps readers move from recognition to education, boundary setting, restoration, and long-term maintenance. The intellectual benefit is its reframing of abuse as a pattern of psychological control rather than a collection of isolated conflicts. Compared with many books in the trauma and narcissistic abuse category, it stands out for its accessible structure and its combination of explanation with guided reflection. It does not depend on technical theory, but it also avoids treating healing as a simple matter of positive thinking. Its focus on communities, families, workplaces, couples, and places of worship broadens the discussion beyond romantic abuse alone. Readers looking for a clinical textbook may find it introductory, and those in immediate danger will need more direct professional assistance. Its strongest role is as a compassionate, organized starting point for naming hidden harm and beginning recovery. If you would like to support Shannon Thomas LCSW, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.